Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, that is. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, March the 29th, 2024. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud, sing it proud. Love this. Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Good one here. It says, failure is no more fatal than success is permanent. And our government proves that point every single day.
That was quite entertaining from someone that had a sexual relationship with a Chinese spy.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
Should be good.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1871. Royal Albert Hall in London was opened by Queen Victoria. And it is an amazingly beautiful piece of architecture. Very popular venue to this day. A lot of rock concerts get played in there. Oh, and there's also this huge pipe organ in the place that'll just shake the rafters. It's amazing. Go to YouTube and just type it in there. Royal Albert Hall pipe organ. And it was on this day in 1984, the Baltimore Colts loaded their possessions onto 15 Mayflower moving trucks in the early morning hours and transferred all their operations to Indianapolis.
Staggers the imagination.
The hypocrisy of the left never ceases to amaze me. And you know who really showcases it better than anybody else? Sean Hannity does it on his daily three-hour radio show, and then he goes into Fox in the evening and does it there. Showcases the hypocrisy of the left. Well, other people are noticing it too, like Chris Powell over at Trending Politics wrote a commentary on it. I'd like to read it to you. He says, Jon Stewart, the host of The Daily Show, has come under fire after it was revealed that he overvalued his New York City penthouse by an astonishing 829%, despite criticizing Donald Trump for similar actions with his Mar-a-Lago residence. Yeah, during a recent segment of his show, Stewart blasted Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank for his relaxed stance on property valuation, saying that actions like that were victimless crimes. Well, Stewart quipped, I'm surprised to hear this from Kevin O'Leary, a guy who's such a, well, I'm not going to say the word, that even the other people on Shark Tank think he's an, you can imagine the word, right? It ends with hole. Anyhow, in a scathing critique of Trump, Stewart accused the former president of costing New York City by avoiding taxes through inflated property valuations, saying Donald Trump's shenanigans cost the city of New York. That's money that the city of New York could have used to build more Walgreens. Okay, kind of a cute line, but I mean, just the ultimate in hypocrisy coming from Jon Stewart, who, by the way, doesn't even know 1/100th of the business knowledge that Donald Trump has. I mean, yeah, come on. Jon Stewart isn't really fit to lick the bottom of Donald Trump's boots or Kevin O'Leary's. So O'Leary noted at the time, he says, everything you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city. This has never, ever been prosecuted. And then he added, he says, to take a law that we use to protect people against buying refrigerators at an overpriced value decades ago and apply it against an individual and then talk about seizing assets like in Cuba. This is a very, very, very bad look for New York. And everybody around the world is watching this. I love it when Kevin O'Leary goes on CNN because he cuts those anchors to the quick. He really does. Then Stewart claimed the Attorney General of New York knew that Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay the taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. It was all part of a very specific real estate practice known as lying. However, the news of Stewart's own property dealings has exposed Stewart who's returned for election season, by the way, for what he really is. Just another typical leftist hypocrite. Internet detectives quickly scrutinized the property transactions of that New York City penthouse owned by Stewart, and they revealed a very significant overvaluation. In 2014, Stewart sold his Tribeca duplex for $17.5 million. But assessor records from 2013 and 14, verified by the New York Post, conservative paper, show the property's estimated value was just $1.882 million, with the actual assessed value even lower at $847,174. What an odd number, right? And as a result, Stewart benefited from considerably reduced property taxes calculated based on this lower assessed value. Now, am I prosecuting Stewart for this? No, because everybody does this. I did it with my property out in Sugar Land. So, I don't know. You think about this stuff. This is stuff everybody does. Not that it's wrong, not that it's right. You do what you can to save yourself as much money as you possibly can, right? Because no matter what you do for a living, you work hard for whatever money you make. And everybody's going to do what they have to do in order to save money, to put themselves in the most advantageous position financially. It's not criminal unless there is specifically a law against it. And in this particular case, what we're talking about here, Trump's personal valuation of his properties, that's not criminal. But yet here we have a leftist on the TV, John Stewart, and he's poking fun at Donald Trump over the very thing that John Stewart himself is doing. So this discrepancy between the sale price and the assessed value mirrors the very issue Stewart decried on his show. His property taxes were also calculated based on the lower assessed valuation, further entangling him in the type of behavior he lambasted when discussing Trump. But you see, the lefties do this all the time. So here you have the entire left going after Donald Trump. And the reason they're doing that, the reason they're exercising all this lawfare against him is because they are trying desperately to prevent him from not getting into the White House. Yeah, they're trying to prevent that too. But they're trying to prevent him from even appearing on the ballot. And they're going to continue to do this right up until the day of the election. And they're going to fail. They're going to fail because what they're doing right now is they're making one hell of a martyr out of Donald Trump. One thing I've learned about journalists who have an excellent reputation and are very ethically founded people is that they end up doing well in spite of any misfortunes that should come their way, such as the case with Catherine Herridge. You remember her from the Fox News Channel, and then she ended up over on CBS and got in trouble with CBS. But her next potential career move has been revealed. She was a senior correspondent over at CBS, but she's currently in discussions now about joining X. And while the talks are still preliminary, there's potential for Herridge to lead a new investigative unit, which she would play a key role in developing. Now, Herridge isn't the first to get the raw end of a deal with the network, or to get in trouble with the government, or to have an overbearing judge make a ruling that he or she couldn't abide by. She's probably one of half a dozen in the last few years. But I really admire people like Catherine Herridge. She's been recognized for her detailed reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. That's what painted a target on her back. She's also an award-winning journalist. Left CBS News in February amid layoffs by its corporate parent, Paramount. And she's said to have met with ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino at the Jefferson Hotel in Washington earlier this month. Now, Elon Musk's X organization said, we are in discussions with many content creators who are interested in joining X in various ways. Catherine Herridge is a great journalist who strongly supports free speech. So that was, that was an actual statement that the ex-people made to the New York Post. Herridge is weighing a number of opportunities, another source told the outlet. So I like this. X, formerly known as Twitter. And they made headlines for various operational changes and strategic shifts under the ownership of Elon Musk. I think it has rendered Elon Musk a whole new wave of great respect from the general public. Now, in recent moves, the platform X has recruited Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon, but Lemon's deal, of course, fell flat on its face. That was terminated immediately by Musk right after their contentious interview. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's still on YouTube, but it's really not much to see except Don Lemon's arrogance. But Ms. Herridge was also found in civil contempt earlier this month after a judge ordered her to produce the names of sources who leaked information about the FBI's interrogations of scientist Yanping Chen, who's suing the government. This is interesting stuff. This is stuff you never hear about. This is stuff the mainstream media will never tell you. You see, under an Obama-appointed judge's order, Herridge faced a fine of, get this, $800 per day every 24 hours that she refused to out her sources. Never mind, this is against the First Amendment. Now, the reports published during Herridge's tenure at Fox News led Chen to initiate a lawsuit against the FBI in 2018. Herridge has claimed that the agency violated her privacy by leaking information without authorization. In 2022, Chen sought to compel Herridge and Fox News to reveal the source of the leaks through a legal subpoena, a move both resisted by citing First Amendment rights. It's amazing how willing politicians, law enforcement agencies, and judges alike are so willing to shred the First Amendment. I find this very disturbing. Now, CBS's decision to terminate Herridge back in February was controversial as well, because the network took drastic measures by confiscating Herridge's files, computers, and records, which included sensitive information on privileged sources, according to all reports connected to this story. Now, the aggressive action not only alarmed Herridge's colleagues, but also attracted the attention of SAG-AFTRA. Who is SAG-AFTRA? That's Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. I'm actually a member of that union. Now, the situation took on an even more ominous tone, given that Herridge was engaged in pursuing stories that weren't favorably viewed by the Biden White House and several Democratic power brokers. Gee, who could they be? You think Chuck Schumer might be among that bunch, huh? Now, a former journalist from CBS told The Hill at the time that numerous employees were confused about why Herridge was laid off, as one of the correspondents who broke news regularly and did a lot of original reporting. That is a very important asset to any network or any news organization. And one individual mentioned, quote, "I had never seen a seizure of records from a departing journalist, and that the move had sent a chilling signal in the ranks of CBS," end quote. Now, a former CBS manager, speaking anonymously, said after Herridge's firing, he says, "I'd never heard of anything like this." And then they noted that traditionally, journalists exiting the company were allowed to take all their files and personal office items, with the company even assisting in packing personal belongings ranging from cups to Post-its. So it's very obvious here that in this particular case with CBS, the government is involved in the dismissal of Catherine Herridge, and the government is involved in seizing her personal effects and her records. This is against the law. This is the most flagrant display, the most blatant display of the tyranny within the Biden administration. And this crap has got to stop. Alda Fredley, writing in the Epoch Times, says that Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s sister is concerned that his independent presidential bid could undermine President Biden's re-election prospects and potentially bolster former President Trump's chances of winning instead. Well, we'll certainly hope so. I really, really doubt the integrity and the mental well-being of anyone who wants to see Joe Biden re-elected. Look at what has become of this country in 3 years and some change. 3 years and 3 months. I mean, it is mind-boggling the damage that has been done to this country. And this is damage that this country is going to feel for certainly the next generation and a half. Now, Mr. Kennedy's siblings had previously denounced his decision to run. They've been giving him pure D hell. They really have. Calling this run perilous and dangerous to our country. Well, nothing more dangerous to our country than the possible re-election of Joe Biden, for crying out loud. But during an interview with CNN on Monday, Rory Kennedy explained that they viewed Mr. Kennedy's independent bid as dangerous because they believed his campaign was siphoning votes from President Biden. She told the news outlet, she says, again, that was CNN, she says, "I feel strongly that this is the most important election of our lifetime. And there's so much at stake. And I do think it's going to come down to a handful of votes in a handful of states. And I do worry that Bobby, just taking some percentage of votes from Biden, could shift the election and lead to Trump's election." Well, let's certainly hope so. Now, Bobby Kennedy trails in a three-way race with Biden and Trump. And this is according to a December Reuters Ipsos poll. I mean, that's, what, 4 months ago almost. But the same poll showed him drawing more support from President Biden's potential voters than Trump's, which is really the way we want this to play out, right? So, Mr. Kennedy has picked Silicon Valley lawyer Nicole Shanahan, who was formerly married to Google co-founder Sergey Brin, as his running mate. Now, Ms. Shanahan's only 38 years old. She's very sharp, though, but she's very liberal. She's a supporter of George Soros. He supports her, she supports him, and she helped fund and create Bobby Kennedy's $7 million Super Bowl campaign ad. You know, that's like taking $7 million and flushing it down the toilet. But anyhow, Kennedy said that Ms. Shanahan shares my indignation about the participation of big tech as a partner in the censorship and their surveillance and the information warfare that our government is currently waging against the American people. And the announcement actually represents the latest chapter in Kennedy's campaign journey that started in Boston in April of last year, just about a year ago, with his intent to challenge Biden for the Democrat Party nomination. Now, claiming that the DNC was rigging the primary and not allowing any candidate to compete against President Biden, Bobby Kennedy announced in October that he would run as an independent, and he is. To say nothing else of the man, he's a man of his word, I guess. And he said he was inspired by the only president who was an independent, George Washington. He told supporters that he was declaring his independence from the Democrat Party and that it was a painful decision he didn't take lightly because of his family's long-standing ties to the party. Yeah. At the time, he said, "There have been independent candidates in the past. This time, it'll be different. This time, the independent will win." Well, I guess he has to believe that if he's going to have a chance at all of even showing up. But his family, right after that statement, his family issued a joint statement expressing their disappointment with his decision and denouncing his presidential bid as perilous. Their statement read, "The decision of our brother Bobby to run as a third-party candidate against Joe Biden is dangerous to our country. Bobby might share the same name as our father, but he doesn't share the same values, vision, or judgment." Boy, what a sibling smear job, huh? A poll commissioned by the American Values 2024 Political Action Committee, working to get Kennedy elected, conducted by Zogby Strategies and released back in October, showed that if Mr. Kennedy ran as an independent or third-party candidate, he would start at 19% compared to 38% for President Biden and President Trump. So no matter how you look at it, it's an uphill battle. But he feels compelled to do it. And if it's advantageous to us on the conservative side, fine, so be it. I'm all for it. Run, Bobby, run. And the results indicate that Kennedy's pulling just as much from Trump as he is from Biden, according to American Values co-chair Tony Lyons. He said, critics of independents and third-party candidates always claim that they split the vote and serve as a spoiler, but what we're really seeing is that people are disillusioned with both major parties. And there's a lot of truth to that. And they're tired of partisan politics. We all are. I mean, all you have to do to see partisan politics at play is just turn on CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, any of those networks, pick up a New York Times or a Washington Post, and you see partisan politics right there. Sick of it. This is big, big, big. Federal judges ruled in favor of upholding enforcement of dates for mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania. Now, the court ruled that it's okay for Pennsylvania to require correct handwritten dates on the outer envelopes of mail-in ballots. Yes, this had been an issue. And the way CBS News reported it, yes, the leftist CBS News, a panel of federal judges ruled Wednesday to uphold the enforcement of dates on mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania. A divided 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled it was permissible for Pennsylvania to require correct handwritten dates on outer envelopes on mail-in ballots, overturning a lower court ruling that sided in favor of voting rights advocates who argued tossing ballots with wrong dates ran afoul of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Now, the ruling in the case, NAACP versus Schmid, brings the return of a technical mandate that caused thousands of votes to be declared invalid in the 2022 election. Now, the state said many voters wrote their birth date on the envelope when they should have been writing the date prior to the election day that they filled out the ballot. Now, yes, people are that dumb. Now, the total number of votes that have been thrown out is actually a small fraction of the large electorate there in Pennsylvania. But the court's ruling puts additional attention on Pennsylvania's election procedures ahead of the state's primary election being held on April 23rd. And let's not forget that Pennsylvania is a huge battleground state. So the RNC called it a crucial victory for election integrity and voter confidence. And according to the RNC, following the news that the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled in favor of an RNC-led election integrity lawsuit regarding signature verification for mail-in voting in Pennsylvania, RNC Chairman Michael Whatley released the following statement. He said, "This is a crucial victory for election integrity and voter confidence in the Keystone State and nationwide. Pennsylvanians deserve to feel confident in the security of their mail-in ballots, and this Third Circuit ruling roundly rejects unlawful left-wing attempts to count undated or incorrectly dated mail ballots. Republicans will continue to fight and win for election integrity in courts across the country ahead of the 2024 election." All right, so some background here for you on this. In November of 22, the RNC, NRCC, and Pennsylvania GOP secured a victory on this issue in front of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Now, a federal district court then struck down the dated signature requirement in November of 23. And then the GOP appealed. And now the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals has agreed with the RNC's argument. And this was a 2-1 ruling handed down by 3 Democrat-appointed judges. What does that tell you? So this ruling is going to have far-reaching effects regarding left-wing attempts to weaponize the material, the what they call the materiality provision of the Civil Rights Act across the country. Represents a victory for mail ballot safeguards. In what is probably, is it fair to say that Pennsylvania is the most crucial swing state? I don't know, but I see it as the most swingable swing state. So yeah, probably the most crucial. Anyhow, the RNC has, just for the record, the RNC has engaged in 81 cases of election integrity litigation this cycle alone. And there are more on the way. Normally, I don't do this sort of thing, you know, pay tribute to a statesman or woman who has passed away. But in this particular case, I'm going to make an exception because I genuinely liked the guy. I liked him when he was still a Democrat because he was a Democrat with a conscience. And we're talking about former vice presidential nominee and U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman. He passed away Wednesday at the age of 82 due to complications from a fall. I hate when that happens. You know, he was still a very vital human being, mentally sharp. I used to see him on the TV every so often. Yeah, on Fox News. And it was always good to hear his point of view on things. Man with a real sense of conscience, a sense of right versus wrong. And believe it or not, he was one Democrat who always chose right. Now, he may have been wrong in his opinions on certain issues when it came to voting for or against certain issues or initiatives, but he was always honest about his opinions and always forthcoming in how he felt about certain issues that were up for grabs. But he eventually got to the point where I think it was the same thing with him that it was with Tulsi Gabbard when Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party. I mean, it wasn't a case of they left the party left them. In fact, it's very hard these days to find a true-to-form Democrat anymore. You know, the kind of a Democrat I used to be when I was young and idealistic. Those Democrats don't exist anymore. Today, the Democrat Party is completely overrun and under the complete control of the far left. And the problem with that is that it also bleeds over into the media and information industry in this country. And that is never going to be good. Let's wrap things up a little bit by taking a walk on the wild side. In other words, let's venture over to the Comedy Corner with Graham K.
I had a lot of bad jobs before this. I got fired from all of them. One job I got fired from, this is true, I used to be a house painter. I used to paint the outside of people's homes. And how I got fired from that job is, long story short, I painted the wrong house. It's 100% a true story. I guess we got the address wrong, and whoever lived in that house left for work early in the morning, you know, stupidly assuming no one's gonna paint their home. And then we pulled in the driveway like 1 second later and committed a crime for 8 hours in the sun. And then our boss finally found us. This was like before smartphones. He finally found us. He was like, oh my God, you guys painted the wrong house. And this is how we solved the problem. Now pay close attention, right? We packed everything up and drove away. Criminal masterminds. Yeah. And then we were fired. Of course, we're morons. But what that means, though, is one of the biggest mysteries of my life. I still think about it today. It's like, what happened to that family when they got home from work and their house was a different color? And nobody had any answers. When they started their day, they owned a white house with gray trim. When they finished their day, their house was brown. Brown! Sometimes people ask me, you know, they go, but what shade of brown, Graham? I'm like, well, I don't know. I like to describe it as a noticeable brown. The kind of brown you're gonna notice your house is a different color than when you started your day. And wet. And wet. Don't forget that part. Now, I don't know what that couple said to each other when they got home. I have no idea. But I'm pretty sure they did not say a word. Because how do you ask your spouse if your house was always brown? There's no way to ask that question.
That'll do it. Make it a terrific weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?